change. Something sleeps inside us. The sleeper must awaken, 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 awaken.
Ghost of Talk, I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug. I feel like I have to yell.
Well, yeah, it's good, yeah, but yeah, we are a little bit louder. That's all right, though. That's okay.
All right.
Yeah, I mean...
Come on, yeah.
Just fade it out.
How can I concentrate with all this fabulous music going on? New intro for the show, as you heard.
No, it's stuff changing every single week around here.
Yeah, we just thought we'd change everything again.
The corporate keeps telling us to keep changing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, you know, we can only work so hard here. You guys got to give us a break. But, you know, the head honchos keep telling us, you know, you got to keep it fresh. Keep it fresh, guys.
Yeah, keep it fresh. I don't know. All that market research, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I've been sitting in meetings all day long.
I know.
It's not our form to vent that on the air. We can't bitch about the radio station.
I bet they're thinking, I wonder what they're going to talk about tonight. Well, we're going to tell you what we're going to talk about tonight. However, first I want to say, corporate is, by the way, Zero Point Radio.
And we're just kidding, by the way.
And we're just kidding, because the Zero Point Radio family is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, right now, go to ZeroPointRadio.com, click on Interact, and then go down to Chat. And make up a name and just go in the room, because it's now set to default to go right into the Zero Point Radio chat room, which is where a lot of people are, including GT Will, the engineer here.
He keeps in contact with everybody while the show's going on.
Yes.
To get feedback.
Yes.
Such as you guys are horrible. Leave.
Yeah. Yeah, he keeps passing his little notes.
Or my favorite. You
they
suck.
They all want you off the air now. I like that one. But, of course, Zero Point Radio's founder, R.F. Burns, is in the room.
Sweet R.F. Burns, yes.
Res Miranda, of course, is the program director, and she also does Resmerize on Zero Point Radio.
Excellent show.
It's Monday night / Tuesday mornings. It's like in the wee hours of the Tuesday morning.
We better solidify that right now. It's Tuesday morning.
Okay.
Well, the thing is,
they always promote it as being on Monday nights, but it is. But it's after Monday night. It's more like Tuesday morning.
Well, yeah.
Of course, we've got Zanny in the room. Zanny does the Zanny Show, something like that.
Zanny Show, get it, go get it. It's great.
Oh yeah, Mr. Olaf, of course, of MrOlaf.com. Vishad, who I've not heard of. I don't know if I've visited with that person. And, Mike.
Lots of cool people.
And, oh my gosh, I know I'm missing half. I have to, like, squint and look halfway across the room, so I'm missing half the people in the chat room. But go to the chat room, chat with all the cool people.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about? You're the one who said, hey, we're going to finally talk about this. We've been asked and asked and asked. Announce to the world what we get to talk about tonight.
Used car salesmen and why they should be stopped.
I thought that would be fast. Wait a minute. That was next week.
No, that's next week. Sorry. No. Vampires.
Yes.
Or I would like to pronounce it as vampires.
Vampires.
Blampires. We're going to talk about vampires this week.
I thought that was a good idea.
Very cool,
people have asked us before.
Lots of people. Got emails. Ridiculous.
Oh, emails in person. I've had people, I've gone on hunts, and people are, when are you going to talk about vampires? I mean, everyone wants us to talk about vampires for some reason.
Yeah.
It must be my pasty white skin. And the blood.
And your pointy teeth.
And my pointy teeth.
And your, yeah.
And the black cape. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they want us to talk about
the fact that you came here. I was waiting for you to come here in front of the house today, and you didn't, like, drive up in a car. You just kind of poofed. You flew in, and you poofed. And there you were.
Whenever I make an entrance, I always flap my wings really, really hard. They go, stir up a little dust, and then poof.
Yeah, there he is right there.
And I'm there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Semick, the only man who can teleport on this planet.
And I didn't know that people actually wanted us to talk about vampires. So we are going to talk about vampires.
Well, it just goes back because, like, we're doing a show about ghosts primarily, and we get all these requests now for crazy topics, which is cool.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
I'll talk about anything. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, but it all works together. It all comes, I mean, it's all a mystery. And that's what's really coming down to now is like, well, we're just talking about mysteries. Just the mysteries all over the planet and outside of the planet.
It had to have started with the pyramids, because when we were talking about the pyramids, it's like, okay, everything's open now. Let's talk about anything. Oh, so before we talk about vampires, I want to welcome Clyde Lewis.
Yes. Got that email today.
Yeah. He's on Zero Point Radio. Okay. This guy is so famous, and he is so cool, and he's the one, if you're digging up stories about radios and ghosts.
This is sweet. This is one of the coolest stories.
Yeah, you can't help but run across the story of when Clyde Lewis, I don't remember if he had a seance in there.
It was a seance. It was a medium there.
And he did it right then and there.
Live
on the air. And it made radio history. It is just awesome. So listen to his show. His show's on, well, as a matter of fact, it's on at 11 p.m. tonight.
Yeah.
So stick around shortly, you know, for what we go off at night.
Watch a movie after Ghostly Talk, and then you can probably catch Clyde
Lewis.
2 hours
after Ghostly Talk is Clyde Lewis, and I'm just, like, so excited. Welcome, Clyde.
Yeah, welcome. It's really an honor to be next to Clyde Lewis.
Anywhere near Clyde Lewis.
Yeah, when I got that email, I'm like, who? No.
I know.
What?
I was staring in disbelief.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this is totally awesome. So, yeah. All right, vampires.
Vampires. To start off.
Everybody thinks of Vlad Dracula because of Bram Stoker's novel. Right? You know, the Irish writer Bram Stoker comes up with, or Bram or whatever, comes up with Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then they talk about, you know, and I'm sure everybody last, you know, Halloween season saw the stuff about Dracula on, like, the Learning Channel or whatever channels those were. And they talked about, you know, actual Vlad the Impaler. And
that's scary guy. Let's put it that way.
Scary guy. We talked about him, as a matter of fact, in a previous show, one of our news shows that we had tried to do.
The hell moved.
Well, you know, it's on the moved on studios. So
we got stuff moving around down here now.
Yeah.
Great.
As long as my notes don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Vlad the Impaler was this, like, ruler of, I don't know, Bosnia and Herzegovina or something like that. And, okay,
quality workmanship that makes Ghostly Talk where it is.
I'm going to get emails.
Tell you what.
I'm going to get nasty emails.
Why don't
now.
We, I got a bunch of history right here.
Oh, good idea.
Why don't we go through that a little bit?
I think that's better, because my notes have nothing to do with Vlad the Impaler. I do not know why I brought him up.
All right, here we go. We're going to talk history first. Just to give, I mean, if you don't know who Vlad Dracula is by now, Vlad the Impaler, okay, well, I'm not going to make fun of you. But
if you are, you're going to learn.
You're going to learn right now.
I'm going to tell you a little bit, brief history, right. Vlad the Impaler, how awful he was.
Do we have any history music? No, we don't have any history music, do we?
I'll play some. Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding.
14-3. Vlad Dracula was born.
Oh, we're going to start with his birth. Oh, my God.
No, we're not going to. No, just don't worry. It's all right.
Okay.
Stop it. And shortly afterwards, Dracul, his father, is invested into the Order of the Dragon. Okay.
Like a lot of people back then in the Order of the Dragon, they were. Yeah.
1436, Dracula's father obtains the Wallonian throne. Yeah, Wallonian throne.
I thought it was Wallachia or something like that. Let me see the word real quick.
Wallonian. Oh, God.
Wallachian. I think it's like Wallachia or something like that. So
another district of Transylvania.
Yes. Okay.
From his stepbrother, Alexandru Albia. Jeez, old Pete. I like short names.
Oh, wait, yeah, where do you see some of them other names, some Hungarian names and stuff in the next story we're going to talk about?
Dracula, as a child, is taken hostage by the Turks at this time.
What was it, like him, his father, and his brother or something?
Dracul, Dracula's father, and his sons, Dracula and his brothers, get imprisoned by the Turks. This is that's 1436. 1442 is when they all get taken. 1443, Dracula, now 12, and his younger brother Radu the Handsome become hostages of the Turks to guarantee the loyalty of their father, who is put back on the throne of Wallachia.
They actually did that kind of thing quite a bit. Back then in the days of empires and things like that. They would take family members of a ruling family, and basically they would just live in, some other castle with they would then be captors, but at the same time they would just live there as, like a guarantee that, that they could use, in this case, Dracul as a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise they'd just slaughter his family. So.
Okay, now 1447, though.
Yes.
This is when the plot starts to thicken. Dracul is beheaded, and his son, Mercia, is buried alive, which they're assassinated.
Yeah.
That's what it says here. For complicity with the Turks.
Right. So he was, like, hanging out and doing some political things with the Turks, and they didn't like that, so they got rid of him.
Okay, so 1459...
in beautiful 13th century fashion.
Yeah. Right around...
Or 15th century or whatever.
Very, very humane.
Yeah.
This is around Easter, 1459. Vlad kills the boyars. Also burns alive German trainees. So I guess this is like the genesis of what we're about to talk about. 1461, Vlad Dracula campaigns against the Turks along the River Danube. During the summer, retreats to his capital of, Turgovist.
Okay.
Turgovist, yeah. 1462, Vlad has his famous encounters with two monks. This is also his imprisonment. He's in prison in 1462. Also during 1462, just before the Battle of Dracula's Castle, his wife commits suicide by jumping into the river. Dracula flees to Transylvania and gets imprisoned in Hungary for 13 years. Vlad's brother, Radu the Handsome, takes the throne as a puppet of the Turks. Okay.
Well, meanwhile, back in history, the Turks were going and campaigning and doing all kinds of stuff. They, took over Greece. I mean, they were just, trying to rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
The thing
that we're talking about with Vlad, which they fail to mention here, also that information...
Well, that's because it's just, names and dates and times and stuff.
What made... Well, everybody looks back at Vlad Dracula as the original vampire. For the simple fact that most of us know, the ones that don't are going to learn something here, that his nickname was Vlad the Impaler. And we all know what impalement is, don't we, people?
Ow.
Yeah, it's not entirely the funnest way to go.
No.
It's also rumored that during battles, after battles, what Vlad and his soldiers would do is literally drink the blood of the people they were fighting. The fallen warriors they took out, they would literally drink the blood of the warriors. What they say a lot with history on that says they did that a lot. Well, he impaled half the armies, so that when the other people came through, they'd be like, "Oh, I think I'm gonna turn around and go back home."
Yeah, it was definitely.
And we're talking about miles and miles of this. This isn't just one little battle. Miles of impaled bodies. And then people had to see. And what the reason he did this is to make an example. This is what happens when you step up to me, basically.
Right.
And he'd drink the blood, and all these rumors went around about him. And, as far as just the butchery that he'd commit in battle. And that's where he was nicknamed Vlad the Impaler, where he was originally thought of as the original Dracula. I mean, obviously today, this is the thing that is bound to be talked about on Ghostly Talk, is, the Hollywoodization of Dracula, or Dracul, or Nosferatu, whatever name you want to call it, okay? We think of, when you think of Dracula, you think of Halloween. When you think of Dracula, you think of a very handsome man, Bela Lugosi, the original Hollywoodization of Dracula. Handsome man, very attractive, ladies like him.
you know, strapping in the, you know, the black cape, slicked back hair. You know, you think of the, of course, modern culture thinks of the, what Hollywood, you know, rams down our throats. However, the, there's a lot of different stories, but I wanted to get back to Vlad the Impaler real quick, because it turns out, and I think this might be more true, even though Bram Stoker come up with Dracula, even though, you know, Vlad the Impaler, you know, was who's, you know, supposed to be Dracula, and, you know, all this stuff, even though that happened, there's another story we're going to be talking about, and that's a little, that's a lot closer to, you know, the real Dracula. So I'm having a feeling that, it's the two stories melded together.
Well, that's the thing, though. That's the thing. Like, what's the, what is the real Dracula? People have been trying to figure that out for years. Like, well, what is the true, you know, the true vampire? What, I mean, even if it exists, let's just say, what's the true vampire? Well, we've seen what happened in the, well, the last century, what they did to the, to this particular character. They Hollywoodized it, which is fine. It makes money, and that's cool. It's interesting at that. It's still fun to watch.
And they've had a lot of fun with it, too. I mean, wasn't there one with George?
God, the monsters. Come on.
Uncle, what's his name? The uncle. Thing I don't remember absolutely that. Hilarious.
I mean, that was hysterical. I mean, Count Chocula. he's selling cereal, for God's sakes.
Yeah. They, I mean, they've got, well, that, and blueberries were my favorite. Blueberries. I like blueberries better than, you know, the Count Chocula stuff. I don't know why.
Blueberries were all right.
Well, I'm partial to ghosts, so so I guess I liked blueberries better.
Okay, well, I didn't say I liked Count Chocula.
Oh, okay.
Forget it. Never mind.
Next. So, the
let's slaughter something else. Let's go.
Sure, why not? The thing about Dracula, the modern conception is he sleeps in a coffin.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, obviously a rich prince kind of thing, although Count, I mean, he was a count in the original story, and that's why the other story that we're going to tell is more closely related. So he's rich, he's got his, you know, minions, and he goes out and he, you know, woos women or hypnotizes men or whatever in order to bite them on the neck and drink their blood.
Well, there's a lot of eroticism in that story. I mean, that's a bad choice of words. But, yeah, the Hollywood version of Count Dracula is a very erotic character. He's very, very sensual. He can pretty much woo any woman or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
Or hypnotize and chant and trance. And trance men. You know, whatever. He's got to get that blood. And so he, that's what he does. And it is very interesting how sexual the whole thing is. But
see, that's the Hollywood version, though. Really, I mean, I've done a lot of reading on this in the past, and what I've taken from a lot of my reading is that the original, like what the vampire really was all about, was completely the opposite. They were hermits.
Well, even before that, though, even before the hermits, from what I understand, because I've done a lot of reading as well.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think that even before that, what it started out as, I thought, was, okay, you're in your little hut in your little village, okay? And one of your family members dies, okay? Shortly after you bury him or her, somebody has a dream, a nightmare, or just a dream or something about their now departed family member. Almost instantly, that now departed family member was now thought of as being a vampire.
Okay.
Because they have visited the living from the realm of the dead.
Okay.
And so, of course, it gets all caught up. It was actually supposedly then catchy. You could catch this.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, they would start going through and, you know, like really looking at, okay, who died in the past, like, 6 months or whatever, and you know, has anybody had anything strange happen to them? If they have, let's go and you
well,
know,
that's not,
dig
it,
up their...
Is it that personal, though? See, what you said, I mean, what you're saying before was, you know, a family member, well, they lose a family member. A family loses a family member.
Right.
They bury the person, and then X amount of time goes by, probably a very short amount of time. Somebody sees them in a dream or a nightmare.
Right.
Now, can I cite something here?
Okay.
A couple weeks ago at work, a friend of mine at work, who I used to work with, but we ended up, our accounts ended up getting split up and moving to different buildings. But he was a pretty good friend of mine, and he was battling leukemia.
Ooh.
Yeah. And he would come to work. He was working very hard, but he finally lost a couple weeks ago. And we got the email saying, he passed away.
He passed away, yeah.
Now, I got home that night. And, I mean, I was broken about this. I ended up having to drive over there and see everybody and talk to people. And, you know, everybody was very upset about this. But that night I got home from work, and I was thinking about it a little bit, and I'm like, it's really a bummer to see my friend go away. But that night I went to bed, and guess who was in my dream? Clearly in my dream. I mean, my dreams are, we've talked about dreams so many times on this show.
Yeah.
But this was clear as day. I woke up clearly remembering it. And it was my friend from work. I'm not going to name any names here. I don't want to do that. But he just looked at me and smiled.
See, what's interesting about that is I don't look at that as a vampire coming to you in
your
dream.
Yeah, but what you're saying, though, if you lump it all together like that.
Yeah, but in my worldview of things, that's probably comforting.
Yeah, well, it was for me.
Yeah, I take dreams of departed loved ones is comforting, and you know, okay, I think they're all right, you know, and maybe checking up on me, or maybe they're just, you know, in mm-hmm. their realm thinking of me, and that's how it comes across here, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's a vampire, but in the olden times,
mm-hmm.
it was...
Somebody be getting burned at the stake.
Yeah, well, what they do is they actually had vampire hunters.
Mm-hmm.
The vampire hunters would go, and they had their different methodologies, of course. And of course, the one popularized by Hollywood is the wooden stake through the heart. But they actually did, back then, and these are, hut and village days, they actually did the, they would behead the carcass, and they would try and, bury them apart.
Yeah.
They would also cut out the heart, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And not let it be with the body, that kind of thing. But there were two different thoughts. I mean, the vampires didn't start walking. Like, they didn't start, like, coming out of the grave physically for a long time. I mean, that sort of developed over time.
Uh-huh.
It was, originally, it was their ghosts or their essences that would come and visit the people. And the living people. And then they'd have to go, in order to, stop the ghosts from walking or being among the living at night, they would have to go and do this vampire hunt where they would dig up the body and...
It's not much of a hunt.
...dog kinds of things. Well, you kind of know right now.
We're going to go vampire hunting over at the graveyard. Get your shovel, Willie.
It's like, yeah, I mean, you know where
not
the
much
body
of a challenge
is.
In that. I mean, I don't know why they'd call it hunting. Let's just call it vampire exhuming.
But what they found was vampire hunters would, of course, in order to stop the plague, because at the time it was considered a disease, stop the plague from happening, and catching to other people, they would do something nasty to the body. But at the same time, the vampire hunters thought that there were ways to tell when a body was, actually a vampire. So they would dig up this corpse, right? And they would look at it, and they would say, okay, well, it hasn't decayed as much as it should have.
Okay.
Well,
it's been in the ground for a week, man. What do you want?
So, it hasn't decayed as much as it should have. It still has color in the skin. It's still, there maybe some blood has... That's another thing, blood will pool in the body.
Yeah.
And sometimes it goes into the chest cavity and swell up like that. So you've got different ways in the vampire hunters that would profess to that each one of these signs is the sign. And there's more, but, each one of these signs is like fingernails and hair still grows.
That's still, you know? that's scientifically proven that it still grows after death.
Right.
Well, nowadays. I mean, back then it wasn't.
Not much, but it does indeed do that. But the rate of decay, whether it's accelerated or not, you know, or not, doesn't happen for a long time.
Uh-huh.
The pool, you know, the blood pooling in different areas of the body, the noises, okay, like, you know, as you decompose, you get little noises going on, and that's supposed to, you know, be a sign of a vampire. So all these, like, normal natural processes were, like, pointed to and said, it's a vampire, we're going to have to do our thing to it, uh-huh. You know, and do whatever they needed to do to stop this plague, because at the time it was considered a plague.
You mentioned noises.
Oh, gosh, I wanted to brush over that in case there were any kids who would have to go to bed after the show listening, but yeah,
you mentioned noises. Can I tell you something real quick, because you'll get a kick out of this.
Okay.
I grew up in a funeral home, basically.
Yes.
I grew up, my grandfather managed a funeral home after he retired for numerous years, and Bob Scott, a little plug for his funeral home, actually, Scott Funeral Home.
that was a delayed beep.
Yeah. The owner of the funeral home told me a story mortuary school, when he went to Wayne State, actually, here in Detroit. One of his first jobs he had, you know, was to, you know, do a job. You know, because in that business, you have to freelance at first, and then if you don't have family, you're pretty much you're not going to make any money. You have to have family so you can actually get a job with a funeral home. But he was freelancing, and he was called in for a job. What happened to this particular gentleman was he was working at his office, and it was a Friday, late on a Friday. And what happened was everybody was gone out of the office, so he was sitting at his desk. He had a heart attack and just slouched over on his desk and died. Nobody was in the office for the whole weekend. They come back Monday and find this guy dead at his desk, right? So think about this now. He's been dead for 2.5 days, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Rigor mortis has already set in. So they have to basically put him sideways on the stretcher to get him out of the building, because his body is stuck in this. Think about it. You're sitting in a chair, people, and you're hunched over face first on a desk. Your body sets like that and freezes. I mean, what are you going to do? Well, that's an embalming nightmare right there, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this particular person I'm talking about was telling me this story when he was called to do this job. It was one of his first jobs. So what they did is they laid the body on its back on the table. So now it looks like he's like riding a bicycle or something. He's, you know, his arms are out like this, and the legs are sticking up, and he's on his back. Well, Bob, I mean, person walks in, and they're dead body. Okay, cool. Goes, starts putting on the gloves, starts getting everything prepared. The weight shifted in the body from blood moving.
Mm-hmm.
There was still air trapped in the lungs.
Yeah.
The body sat up.
Oh, my God.
And as it sat up, it went,
oh, my God.
He ran out of the building screaming.
I would have, too.
I would have, too. I don't mean to get off track, but...
Well,
God, yes.
Things like that happen. It really is. It's a scientific
thing. That just illustrates
thing.
The point right there that this stuff happens. Nails still grow. Hair still grows. Unfortunately, they didn't know that back then. I wonder back then if they actually started getting very serious about it, going, okay, we got a dead body here. Just died an hour ago. Measure the nails. Measure the hair.
Well, I don't
just
think
in case.
Right, but I don't think they were thinking very scientifically, because that was back in, you know, a while ago.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, wow.
But yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, though. I wonder if they actually got into that kind of thing. Because, I mean, going back to the point where, like I said, I had a friend come to me in a dream just a couple weeks ago, and it was very comforting. I came to work the next day going, hey, I saw so-and-so last night. They're like, what are you talking about? He's dead. And I'm like, oh, he came to me in a dream. I was dreaming last night, and I saw him, and he smiled at me. I wouldn't consider that a vampire. And I'm not trying to generalize what you're saying either.
Right, but that's what, and we're talking about way back then. We're going to talk a little bit after the break. We're going to talk about the story that more closely resembles the modern vampire.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff here today. There's a lot of scientific stuff we really want to talk about with vampires. My God, that's so loud!
We've been killing the Ghost of Talk battery.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some very interesting things. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Awesome.
Thank you. Hey, Scott, it's Doug.
Hey, what's up, Doug?
Well, you know I've been working on that phone thing?
Yeah.
Mostly talk?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think I finally got it. I got one of them toll-free numbers for folks to call in with.
Oh, yeah, what's the number?
Well, it's 1-888-520-1969.
Can't be like this, it's 1-888.
Yeah.
520.
Mm-hmm.
1969.
That's it.
Excellent. Good work, though. We'll talk to you later,
dude. Cool. Catch up.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Permit me to introduce myself. I'm Count Dracula. Good evening. What's happening? What it is? What it look like? Get down. The night was dark. A gray mist filled the air. A coffin stained with blood was lying there. A hand reached slowly out, then pushed the lid. And Dracula rose from where he hid. Few knew the evil life that he had led. This prince of darkness ruled the living dead.
Thank you. talking about vampires.
Creatures of the night.
They want to drink your blood.
Blah.
At least that's the modern impression.
Yeah. That's what people tell you now.
And why? Why all of a sudden all this blood?
Blood.
I don't know. Because, I mean, like I said, at first, it was the, you know, the people who were like, you know, come to you in a dream, and then it's like, oh my gosh, it's a vampire, and if we don't stomp out this disease, we're going to have a problem, you know?
Yeah.
So they're going to, the story changes again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, what happened with Bram Stoker and the novel Dracula
mm-hmm.
was, the next story. So
yeah.
So what are we going to talk about?
Well, I just want to step, well, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you want to call and talk about vampires.
Oh, yeah. The lines are open.
Yeah. Give us a call. 1-888-520-1969.
1-888-520-1969. I just wanted to make this sound creepy. All right. But I want to step back real quick, because we were talking a minute ago about, you know, the impression of Dracula. A lot of my reading I've done in the past on vampires, you know, obviously we've talked about the Hollywoodization to death already in a half an hour. But really, I mean, my favorite vampire movie, because, hey, we like movies here, too. My favorite vampire movie ever of all time was Nosferatu.
Okay.
That
oh,
movie
yeah.
encompasses, I think, like what the vampire, if it should, you know, if you want to like get a visual, none of us have ever really seen a real vampire. Nobody out there can say, well, maybe there's a few of you out there that say you have seen one.
Well,
but,
you know, not that kind of vampire. We've seen the living vampires.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure we've all met people who actually do drink other people's blood and things like that, but they're, you know, goth people. Stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson fans, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that, and that is a subculture.
That's
that
a complete
really
subculture.
Really is a subculture
America.
Of
and the
America.
And the vampire, it is the vampire culture, too.
Yeah.
It's the whole culture based on.
So I'm positive that I've met, you know, because hanging around
frequently, and it's a frequent source of much humor in
well,
the basement studios.
Sometimes, but at the same time, you know, there are people who believe they're vampires and are vampires there.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
but what my
if
impression,
I
what from
think
what
it, I, then I am or something.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't know.
But what from my reading in the past on vampires, the vampire. This is just from what I've researched. The vampire is exactly the opposite of what Bela Lugosi.
Well, yeah.
Was. Is it?
Right.
I mean, every shape or form. It was the opposite of that. He was a hermit. He was dirty. He wasn't well dressed and clean cut. He was dirty. He didn't look good. He was a loner. He was ugly. He
right.
wasn't handsome. He wasn't
right.
And he wasn't a charmer. He was exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
He or she.
And even in some cultures, they were monsters. They
yeah.
were not even human.
In Greece, for example,
they were women. Greece.
There were
yeah.
women in Greece. And they were monsters. They were a monster to these people. So it's typical all over the world. People look at ghosts differently. They look at vampires differently, too.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to blood. Did I say that good? Blood.
You did really well.
Blood.
Blood.
Blood. I'm sure all you are familiar with another great person in American history, or not American
not
history, history
yeah.
world
Ontarian
history,
or
world
or whatever,
history.
Yeah.
Her name was Elizabeth Bathory.
Yeah.
Quite a lady.
Interesting woman, this Elizabeth Bathory.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Elizabeth Bathory now. And meanwhile, the phone lines are open if you feel like chiming in.
Yeah, and if you get it ringing and we're in the middle of something, it'll just ring and ring and ring until we answer. So don't hang up.
Yeah, don't. If you're ringing, you're there. You're almost
you are
ringing.
Next because
yeah.
there's only one line into the Haunted Basement studio.
Okay, 1560 is when Elizabeth Bathory was born. She of the oldest and wealthiest family in Transylvania. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds familiar. Her family had many powerful relatives, princesses, cardinals, all kinds of people that were in very high parts of power. In 1575, she was 15 years old, by the way, here. She was married to Count Fernick, yeah. It's pronounced Ferez.
Yeah.
Whatever. The Count was 26 years of age. Jeez, old Pete, man.
Old
Come
man.
Come on, robbing the cradle.
Old man, hey, young woman.
Take it easy, man.
Dang. Well, back then, they had to get fertile young women if they were going to progenitate or whatever their line.
Mm-hmm. These two, they live together. Right. They live together in this particular person's castle. And I can't pronounce the name of the castle. I'm not going to try to pronounce the castle. I'm not going to embarrass myself like that. Actually, in Slavic, this castle was named Chastis. The Count spent a great deal of his time away home, from home fighting in wars, and for this, he was nicknamed the Black Hero of Hungary.
Wow.
While her husband was away, Elizabeth's manservant, Thorko, introduced her to the occult. For a brief time, Elizabeth eloped with a dark stranger. Upon her return to Castle Chastis, the Count did forgive her for her leaving. Back at the castle, Elizabeth wouldn't tolerate her domineering mother-in-law. With the help of her old nurse, Iona, Jew, she began to torture the servants' girls. Her other accomplices included the Magiojanos Ujveri. I'm trying! And I can't even do the pronunciation here. This is how bad it is. Thorko, a forest witch name. A forest witch
name. Americanize everything.
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying. a forest witch named Darbula, and a witch, Dorada Zentes. This is all Hungarian, so it's very difficult to read. The first 10 years of her marriage, Elizabeth bore no children because, like we said a minute ago, the Count was spent so little time at home pursuing his career as a warrior. Then around 1585, Elizabeth bore a girl who she named Anna, and over the following 9 years gave birth to two more girls, Ursula and Katharina. Now I can read this stuff. This is getting better now. And in 1598,
maybe they had
first
a baby name book out by then or something.
Maybe they did.
First baby name book, Anna, Ursula.
And in 1598, bore her first and only son, Paul. Judging from the letters to her relatives, she was a good wife and protective mother, which was not surprising since nobles usually treated immediate family very differently from lower servants and peasant classes. At age 51, Count Fernick, died in battle, and thus began Elizabeth's period of atrocities. Now the fun starts.
Yeah.
First, she sent her hated mother-in-law away from the castle. By this time, it was thought that she had dabbled into some forms of sorcery, attending rituals that included the sacrificing of horses and other animals. Elizabeth, now 40 years old, grew increasingly vain, and she feared the thought of aging as she may lose her beauty. One day, a servant girl accidentally pulled her hair while combing it. Elizabeth slapped the girl's hand so hard she drew blood. The girl's blood fell into Elizabeth's hand, and she immediately thought that her skin took on the freshness of her young maid. She believed that she had found the secret of eternal youth.
Now, some of that story, I think, is probably, you know, hearsay.
Probably.
But what I've heard is the same thing, is that you know, she slapped a servant girl so hard that she drew blood. A drop fell on her hand, and she thought that it really, you know, revived her skin to its youthly beauty. So I did hear some of that the same way that it's written up there.
This is the fun starting now, though.
Yeah.
Here we go. Well, she hit her hand so hard she drew blood.
Right.
Hey, look at my hand. It looks good now. Elizabeth had two of her other servants strip the maid and then cut her and drain her blood into a huge vat. Elizabeth bathed in it to beautify her entire body. From 1600 to 1610, Elizabeth's henchmen continued to provide Elizabeth with new girls from the blood-draining ritual and her blood baths for that. Elizabeth went out of her way to see to it that the dead girls were given proper Christian burials by the local Protestant pastor, at least initially. As the body count rose, the pastor refused to perform his duties in this respect. Because there were too many girls coming to him from Elizabeth, who had died of unknown and mysterious causes, she then threatened him in order to keep him from spreading the news of her hobby.
Hobby?
And continued to have the bodies buried secretly. Near the end, many bodies were disposed of in haphazard and dangerously conspicuous locations, like nearby fields, wheat silos, the stream running behind the castle, the kitchen vegetable garden. Mm-hmm. Pretty good mulch.
Well, after a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah. But one of her intended victims escaped and told the authorities about what was happening at Castle Trastis. King Matthias of Hungary ordered Elizabeth's own cousin, Count...
Something or other.
Count Thurzo, governor of the province, to raid the castle. On December 30th, 1610, they raided the castle, and they were horrified by the terrible sights. One dead girl in the main room, drained of blood, and another alive, whose body had been pierced with holes.
And good. Hanging in a cage above the floor so that Elizabeth could take a blood shower.
Okay.
From what I remember,
yes,
right?
Yeah. In the dungeon, they discovered several living girls, some of whose bodies had been pierced several times below the castle. They exhumed the bodies of some 50 girls. Jeffrey Dahmer, eat your heart out.
Yeah.
All right. Trial was held.
Everybody was guilty except for her. She was then what?
She refused to plead either guilty or innocent. She never appeared at trial. At this ritual, Jonas Ujberi testified that about 37 unmarried girls had been killed, six of whom had personally recruited to work. They were personally recruited to work at the castle. The trial revealed that most of the girls were tortured for weeks or even months before they were killed. They were cut with scissors, pricked with pins, even prodded with burning irons onto short spikes, and a cage hung from the ceiling to provide bathroom with the blood showers.
Yeah.
Sometimes the two witches tortured these girls, or the countess did it herself. Elizabeth's old nurse testified that about 40 girls had been tortured or killed. In fact, Elizabeth killed 612 women. And in her diary, she documented their deaths. A complete transcript of the trial was made at the time, and it survives today in Hungary. Of the people involved in these killings, all but Countess Bathory and the two witches were beheaded and cremated. I'm going to leave it right there at that.
So what happens is, well, eventually, you know, the Countess went into, they sealed her up, actually, in her own dungeon, and with just like a little food slot kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And she was, you know, basically quarantined that way and, uh-huh. and kept, until she died. And, but from what I remember, she was also still quite a beauty, even though she wasn't getting her blood baths, you know.
Well, let me say something, too. This particular story that I read from.
Yeah.
God, I got to quit this. Came from a site called Pales of Shades, too. I want to cite that.
Oh, definitely.
Let me throw down the URL, as ridiculous as it is. I'm going to throw it down anyways.
Oh, no.
www.angelfire.com. There's your first clue. /realm/shades/demons/vampires/historyofrezebet.htm. You can go there and you can read the story in depth. There's more to it, but we want to just get a good high level on what Elizabeth Bathory did. Pretty famous story.
Yeah.
As far as...
And some of it coincides with what I remember, and some of it doesn't.
We got a phone call.
Oh, cool.
You're on Ghostly Talk.
Hi, this is Scott's mom.
Well, hello there.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Oh, except for what we're talking about.
Are you listening to the show, Mom?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
I don't think that vampires are real.
Okay.
But here's a good movie to watch.
Okay, what do we got?
Dusk Till Dawn.
From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yes.
I saw that.
I've not seen
that. That's a Quentin Tarantino. Well,
that's a scary movie.
Yeah?
That's a pretty freaky flick.
It is, but I don't think vampires are real.
Why not?
Because you can't do that.
You can't do what,
Wait,
Mom?
Do you mean vampires, the kind that you think of with the pointy teeth who drink blood for sustenance and live forever? That's the kind that don't exist?
Except what you were talking about, back a minute ago you said, you know, them followers of, like, Marilyn Manson.
Right, right.
I've seen a program on that. Those are some weird people.
Well, actually, I know some. I do know some people who are self-proclaimed vampires, and they don't tend to actually go out and get victims or anything like that.
They do each other.
They get each other to donate their own blood. So,
and they're sick.
Oh. Well, it's dangerous nowadays.
They're going to get all kinds of very bad diseases.
Yeah, that's always been the long-running joke with vampires in the last, like, 10, 15 years was, you know, I've seen comic strips here and there with a vampire going to bite somebody. You know, and they may be HIV positive or something.
Right.
And the vampire's like, ugh! You know, they'll run away.
The real vampires are.
Because, yeah, the blood supply is just not as pure as it once was because of all these
bizarre
diseases.
I'm going to tell you who the real vampires are.
Huh.
Doctors and lawyers.
Oh, now we're a political show.
Mom, you're going to get us in trouble here.
Those
as, much, as much as I agree with you.
Yeah.
You take your blood.
They sure do. Actually, there was a...
Yeah, your monetary blood.
When I was working in a big office downtown in downtown Detroit, every year they'd have a blood drive.
Well, they have them like every 2 weeks at my work.
Oh, really? Well,
I get an email. Hey, give blood.
They only had it once a year when I was working downtown. And the person who was like assigned to go around and get the names of people who would donate blood was called the Vampire of the Year. And that was pretty cool. But, I agree, but I can't say much more about
that. Yeah, we can't
that.
Say much more about that, unfortunately, Mom.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say hi and that I'm listening.
Awesome.
All right.
Did you learn anything last week? Or did Scott tell you not to listen?
Could you play some more Tom Jones, please?
We'll put a request.
We'll try to put that into the rotation.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Anything by Tom Jones.
All right.
All right,
work on that.
We'll talk to you, Mom.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Too cool. Good movie?
Yeah, pretty cool movie. I mean, not entirely factual or along the lines of what we're trying to accomplish here on the show.
But a good movie.
But fun, yeah. I mean, it's got it's got Selma Hayek, who's just beautiful.
Well, there you go, yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing. But it's a pretty insane flick.
Awesome.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about... Elizabeth. Definitely.
Elizabeth Bathory.
Oh, I had heard a different, like, a little bit different. I had heard, when I had read the story before... I don't think in the story version that I heard, because I don't know how, you know, like, obviously it's all documented somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't know where this comes from. But the, she was worried that she wasn't beautiful enough to her husband, which is why he was away campaigning all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and therefore she needed to do something and she wanted to regain her youthful beauty. And so in the version I heard, I believe her husband was still alive while she was starting to do these atrocities.
Well, regardless of whatever, you know, the timing itself, it was an obvious insecurity in her life.
Oh,
and
gosh,
that's what led to all this.
And there is no proof from the version that I heard of this story. There's no proof whatsoever. And even in this story, they don't mention her actually drinking blood, like, you know,
she
modern
just
vampires.
Basically bathes in it.
She bathes in it to, yeah, for her skin to get beautified or whatever.
Yeah, but she's still ingesting it, though, I have to say.
Well,
speaking.
Through.
I mean, I'm not trying to prove anything,
whatever,
but I'm just saying, she used the blood. I mean, that's the typical folktale with vampires is that's how they maintain. That's what a vampire needs.
Right.
To live on. They crave it.
Well, modern vampires.
Modern vampires.
Yeah.
So, this story is what really brought the whole blood aspect into the picture, though.
I believe that Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's even mentioned somewhere on either that site or some other site.
Yeah.
Is actually more of a cross between Elizabeth's story and Vlad's story.
Yeah.
I think he needed a male to be the lead of
mm-hmm.
the story, and it was more believable. So that's why Vlad the Impaler, Vlad Dracula,
mm-hmm.
Was the model for the lead character. However, the bulk of the story, I think, is actually going to be Elizabeth Bathory's story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that gives you the definite blood connection.
Uh-huh.
Because the you know, Vlad the Impaler drinking blood of fallen warriors and stuff, that's all rumor.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's actually fact.
Like I said before, a lot of that was legends and stories of Vlad.
And whereas this is like, you know, they had a trial, so something happened, and you know it had to do with blood. So I think that the blood came in there, and that's that sort of like the two stories interwoven together, probably with a couple, and they're both from the same region, the Transylvania region. And plus she was a countess.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, Vlad Dracula was a prince.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it became Count from the Countess Bathory, and Dracula from Vlad Dracula. So I think the two stories are intermingled.
Okay,
that's how we get our popular
pop
culture vampire
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, sorry, Marilyn, but
I'm not sorry.
I really don't. We still haven't gotten into the things that float through the night and drink your blood. So we'll have to talk about that after.
We're gonna take a quick break. So what? Like I said, a lot of this stuff is building up. The next hour, this is where it's gonna start getting pretty intense.
I hope we have
to build up.
Can I rant about Constantinos?
Absolutely.
Oh, great!
Absolutely,
fabulous.
It's all yours. So, yeah.
Constantinos, call me.
Yeah, so hang tight. Phone lines are open. Call in. Tell us what you think. If you have a story or maybe something we haven't mentioned yet that you think should be mentioned, we'll definitely take it into account. Well, of course, you're going to be live on the air with us, too. We'll be right back here on Ghostly Talk.
Question for you. What do you get when you put a woman who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in the sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can Resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been Resmerized.
Few creatures of the night have captured our imagination like vampires. What explains our enduring fascination with vampires? What is it about the vampire myth that explains our interest? Is it the overtones of sexual lust, power, and control? Or is it a fascination with the immortality of the undead? And what dark and hidden parts of our psyche are aroused and captivated by the legends of the undead? By the legends of the undead? By the legends of the undead? The mystery of the undead will continue to fascinate the living. The mystery of the undead will continue to fascinate the living. Yeah.
few creatures of the night have captured our imagination like vampires. What explains our enduring fascination with vampires? And what dark and hidden parts of our psyche are aroused and captivated by the legends of the unknown, by the legends of the undead?
Vampires.
Dracula.
How are you doing? What it is?
What are you doing tonight?
Vampires!
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah,
now?
That's
vampires?
What we're talking about today. Yeah.
Okay.
Vampires. Yeah.
I want to talk about chupacabras, but we'll talk about vampires then.
Chupacabra.
Actually, I don't want to talk about those. I love cryptozoology, but, you know, chupacabras just are icky.
They are very icky.
Yeah.
I will agree. Those are very icky creatures.
So we shall talk about vampires.
If I had my choice of what I could be in the next life, Chupacabra would be way at the bottom of my list.
I would rather be a frog or something.
I mean, at least a frog.
Yeah, because
some bit of,
at least they're clean or
as clean a frog can be.
Well,
and I don't
want to
be one of those
water.
Frogs that gets hurried up and thrown in a bucket.
No,
and I'm dissected
kind.
By a 13-year-old kid with more zits on his face.
No, I don't want to be that kind of frog.
No.
Or even the kind of frog that people lick, you know. That's not so bad. I mean,
a frog that people lick.
Yeah.
I know, there's that one you can lick and you get stoned off of it.
That's what they say. Yeah, like in Arizona or somewhere. Somewhere where Rez lives or something.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I don't want to be a licking frog. I would rather be, I'd be something cool, like an anaconda, like that's something nobody would want to even come near.
Yeah.
Some like 50-foot anaconda that just, and you know, people just run. The little village people, I would rather be that. Vampires, though.
Vampires.
You want to talk about something.
No, I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Every single time somebody, I read this book, and I talked about this on Ghostly Talk before. I read this book by Konstantinov, and it was loaned to me by who I thought was my friend Will. He says, I've got the book for you, right? And,
it's a great book.
Oh, no, we're giving Will the mic. Okay.
The mic. You guys can debate about this. I'm just going to kick back and relax.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, okay. So, and then I loan you Cemetery Stories by Catherine Ramsfield.
Which I'm still reading, by the way.
Oh, I love that book. But anyway, okay. What's it called? Something like The Secret or the Something of Vampires,
the
Psychic Truth. That's it, The Occult Truth. Vampires, The Occult Truth by Konstantinov. 99% of the book is telling you either what you've already read a paragraph or a chapter ago, or what you will be reading a paragraph or a chapter or two ahead. That's 99% of the book. And then there's like 1% that's actual good story.
What was the book about, though?
Well, it was about itself, mostly. It was about what you've previously read or what you will read it, you know, in the future, within the same book. So it was about itself. But there was a little bit thrown in here and there about, Old Hag.
Okay.
So, and so therefore, I was a little bit, you know, depressed. It took me a very long time to read that. It's a small book, but it took me 2 months. I mean, I worked on that book. It took me a long time to read that book.
Those letters were really good, though.
The letters were interesting. Here's what he did. He went and he advertised in a couple of places. He advertised in, like magazines or something like that. Like Day of the Dead magazine, or I have no idea, Vampire's Day, things like that. And so he advertises. He says, if you're a vampire, you know, write to me, or you know, I want to meet you or talk to you or something like that. And those were pretty good because he got letters from the vampire subculture of, well, I guess the United States in this case, right?
Probably the United States, maybe possibly even parts of Europe.
Yeah. But he did get some interesting letters. People who thought, you know, who practice vampiric activities. So I thought that part of the book was pretty good. Because, well, it wasn't him writing. All he had to do was type in those letters, and I was happy as a clam. But when he started writing, it was like, oh my gosh, because he's like, as we saw in two letters ago, and like we will be seeing three letters from now, and as I sort of briefly glossed over in the introduction, and as I will again mention in the afterword, vampires are real. And I'm like, oh my God, I just absolutely, 99% of that book is telling you what you read before, what you will be reading again. That's my beef with that book. Vampires, the Occult Truth?
Yes.
By yeah. Who? Konstantinos.
You guys should go to the website. It's www.konstantinos.com. It's KONSTANINOS.com, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Look it up at Google.
Go to Google, type in Vampires Occult Truth. You'll come up with 8 million links.
I'm tired of reading URLs in this show. Just go to Google. Everything we talk about, just go to Google and look it up.
www.ghostlytalk.com. Anyway, so, yeah, Konstantinos, you know, I hope it was one of your first books. Because, you know, it's just like the writing style was just not there for me.
I actually have three of his books.
You do?
Yeah.
Why? Welcome to Book Chat with Doug and Will.
I haven't listened to this show ever.
Well, you know.
All right, well, now, to be fair.
Did you get a phone call from his attorney?
To be fair, I was at the Felt Mansion, and I was talking with the people from WMGHS, and the one I was talking to, just I said, oh, yeah, I'm reading this book about vampires by Konstantinos, and she's like, isn't that a great book? And that's what I hear over and over and over and over again. I've never heard anybody say, you know, oh, that book, you know, well, it sucks. But it does. And I don't know why people think it's such an awesome book.
So Doug appears to be the minority opinion here.
I am the lone opinion. Why? Why is that book so great?
Well, it's definitely the letters. The letters are the best part of the book.
There's like four or five letters. And then there's like, it's wrapped in Konstantinov telling you what you have read or what you won't read.
Well, the letters, I mean, you said the letters themselves, they were people from the vampire subculture.
Yes.
Subculture saying, yes, we're vampires. We practice vampire activities.
Yes.
We do everything that is vampire, vampire this, vampire that.
They seem to characterize themselves as, you know, having night kind of hours instead of day kind of hours. Like me. I mean,
like
I'm a night person. The only reason I'm up during the day is to go to work.
Yeah.
Or like today I was up to the Octagon House. So, I mean, it was, and I also had to go and visit my grandfather at the nursing care center. So, I mean, I was out and about, but
I hate coming out of the house during the day.
I would only go out at night if it were up to me. But that doesn't mean I'm a vampire. But these people identify with vampires, and I have a feeling, though, based on what was written there, and there are probably a lot of Anne Rice fans.
We got a call coming in.
Okay.
You're on Ghostly Talk.
Hello, this is Phil from the UK.
Hello.
Well, hello there.
Hello.
How you doing?
I've been listening in, and I was thinking on the vampire front, I wondered, I hope I didn't miss from a little bit that I did miss. You haven't already covered extraterrestrial vampires, any chance?
No, we have
no, we haven't.
We completely
I didn't even know those two words belonged together.
Cattle mutilations. The cows have been found in a exsanguinated form. In other words, all the hemoglobin has been taken.
Yeah.
The blood, in other words. So I suppose it just about qualifies as an extraterrestrial vampire, doesn't it?
That's a very interesting way of looking at it.
Well,
wow.
The thing about the cattle mutilations is I have a problem. I just really somehow think that it's more like, you know, cats and dogs than vampires. What do you mean by
terrestrial cats and dogs or...
Well, yeah, terrestrial. I mean, what do you mean by the hemoglobin? Was that the only thing missing?
Well, no, some body parts, but they've been reported as being fully drained of blood. But there has been signs of like a brown powdery residue, which is the blood, which has had the hemoglobin removed. So it's a little bit more technical than just extracting the blood, but there's no signs of blood otherwise.
But I know.
It's suspected that perhaps it was the hemoglobin they were after. Now, why that would be, I wouldn't know, but it's certainly extracting blood, and from that point of view, it's extraterrestrial vampirism.
And there wasn't, like, a little sign next to them, your hemoglobin has been removed, call a doctor now?
No. These are cows, and there are several animals, but mostly cattle.
There wasn't a death card or something laid down there next to the cow?
Because, I don't know, I haven't read the stories, these particular stories. Is this ongoing? This is something now?
Well, there's actually two forms. There's the cattle mutilation, which you're more familiar with, but, of course, there's the chupacabras, which are called the goat suckers.
Yeah, the chupacabra.
Drain the blood from goats, among other things, chickens and the like. But they're meant to be animals, but they walk on two legs. So there's another candidate for a vampire, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know. I just can't... I imagine that there could be extraterrestrials coming down and doing experiments with cows as well.
I honestly think that there's a strong correlation between the two. I mean, really, let's think about this. I mean, whether it be an extraterrestrial vampire or, a terrestrial vampire, the ones we're talking about primarily, I mean, there's a strong correlation between the two. Do you think that's something that's very interrelated between the two?
Well, I mean, as far as the cattle mutilations, maybe not, because that's more recent, but the chupacabras could be going back a long way. And they are creatures that drain blood. Now, I haven't heard of reports of draining blood from people, except on one mutilation there has been reports of a human mutilation from Brazil, if I remember right, where the blood was drained from a human being.
A lot of stuff does
closing go, in, you know.
A lot of stuff does go down in Brazil, that's for sure. But they have like, you know, reporting agencies and stuff. We have just, you know, a bunch of people who take the reports.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, though, extraterrestrial vampires, do you think they need the hemoglobin to survive or to continue living?
It would imply, if it was genuinely from an intelligent species, then you would be talking probably about something for a research purpose. So it would seem unlikely. I mean, we're already on the brink whereby we can clone cells to form an endless supply of blood ourselves. So you wouldn't really need to capture a continuous supply of animals, which is, and this has been going on a large scale, the cattle mutilation, and it's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the chupacabra or something like that, that could be, say, a creature that either evolved on Earth or maybe was extraterrestrial in some way. But there, you could be talking about something that isn't so intelligent and that could be doing it for survival purposes.
Well, that I would believe. I believe the chupacabras would need, you know, if considering if they exist, that they are doing it for survival purposes. But alien life, or extraterrestrial life, I mean, I don't know if they would need cow hemoglobin or other forms of cattle hemoglobin to survive. Mostly, like you said, for research, I would think.
Well, what I was thinking, though, what I implied earlier is the correlation. Could a chupacabra, for example, be like being suggested here, be some type of alien species, maybe? It's interesting to think about where maybe the ship, you know, the ship came down and they left him behind.
Well,
you know,
that's how, isn't that how, like, those, what are those?
Man, that's how our whole existence has been theorized, too.
Yeah, you know? Well, thank you, alien outcrop.
Yeah.
But, no, the zebra mussels, for example, they came to the Great Lakes from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't come, like, you know, oh, I'm going to swim over to the Great Lakes. I'm going to, they like, attach themselves to hulls or something like that, ships.
Yeah.
And then the ships come here, and then the zebra mussels are causing quite a problem for the Great Lakes. So they were transplanted. So, yeah, chupacabras or any of these cryptozoological phenomenons could be, you know, transplanted if we're being visited by, you know, the Noah's Ark of the skies kind of thing, or, you know, by accident.
And, I mean, if it is extraterrestrial, that doesn't actually mean it's extrasolar. there could still be a few enclaves of life beyond this planet.
I wholeheartedly agree with you on that.
They're working on Planet X now, yeah.
That's they don't even know if there's any life on that planet. They're just theorizing that they have Doppler readings that there is a planet outside of Pluto. That's been talked about actually for a number of years right now. I mean, as of now.
Oh, that's, yeah, they're saying it's going to come back into orbit or something. It's got some interesting orbit. Yeah, I've been kind of following it.
Yeah, but as far as life goes, that's not even anything they've even looked at yet. That's just,
but underneath Europa, there's a good chance of maybe some sort of fish type life there.
Yeah, now, let me get back up on my astronomy here. I got to access the database. Hang on. Okay, I've accessed it. Europa is, that's a moon of Jupiter, am I correct?
Phobos? No, that's Mars.
Ah! See, I
should know that one.
Okay, I haven't studied astronomy in a long time. So it's a moon of Mars.
It's all ice on the top, and then they now believe there's water underneath the ice.
Io is a moon of Jupiter.
That's not actually Phobos, that's Europa.
Got it.
But, there are now quite a few moons similar size, which like Callisto, that is around Jupiter, but there are a few. Triton sounds quite big, and Titan is all volcanic. There's lots that probably would only take bacterial life, but there is a fair number of planets now that we've, or moons, which
moons,
we would say are possible candidates within our solar system, even if only bacterial, or even Mars could have something under the surface, even if it was at the end of the day just bacteria. But maybe there's a couple places where there could be still some enclaves.
Could there have been? I mean, here's a theoretical situation. Let's say we're talking about maybe a moon of Mars or Mars itself. Maybe there was some type of cataclysmic, explosion or some type of a collision.
Yeah,
where
his most recent theories are based on that.
Yeah, where there was a piece of the planet that maybe just floated in orbit, and then it somehow found its way to planet Earth. And that's where, I mean, the sky's the limit on theories like this. I mean, I'm pretty much digging in. But
the problem with that is that most meteors, is it a meteor
yeah.
strike? Asteroids just burn up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is. Okay, so most meteors, thank you. Okay, there.
Yeah.
We're sharing the Diet Pepsi.
We're sharing the Diet Pepsi.
Most meteors that hit the Earth have already been superheated and stuff. Wouldn't that kill off most bacterial life?
Who knows? Not really,
because we had one of our own spacecraft that went to the moons. It spent 6 months on the surface.
Oh, that's true.
And when it returned, it still had Earth bacteria on it, still alive. They were quite happy with that, so
yes.
They can take a lot.
I imagine the
embedded into a rock.
Yeah.
Actually, when meteorites come to Earth, they can still be cold, practically. There are a few fallacies about super hot meteorites. It doesn't quite work the way you think it does.
Well, I mean, it's got to do the reentry kind of, or the entry.
The surface will have friction, but
well, I know the rule is.
Have a look under. I think it was badastronomy.com. There's Phil Plate who runs that site, who's actually go into some detail on to how there are some misunderstandings in that area.
I thought, I mean, I, in my past reading and my limited study of astronomy, which I find fascinating regardless, I know the rule was it had to be at least bigger than a basketball to maybe make the size of a pebble by the time it touched the Earth or made contact with the Earth physically.
Yeah, but it doesn't need to, does it? I mean, if it's bacteria, you'd imagine it deposited in the upper atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
Right, and it also would have to do with the speed and things like that as well.
And if bacteria can make it to Earth, they could carry DNA from other things. Now, that's a bit more controversial, but there is a theory that says that viruses, things like this, could carry DNA between species. So, in effect, any organism on Earth that's been infected by bacteria that in some way have been in contact with alien species elsewhere could transfer a little bit of the DNA.
I think I know some
people. Possible, if not highly unlikely.
I think I know some people who have been infected. I'm pretty sure I've. I think Will had a phone call from one earlier this week.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Extraterrestrial vampires.
Extraterrestrial.
Certainly, the Chupacabras is the nearest one, anyway. There.
Yeah.
Proposed as extraterrestrial, and it certainly fits your bill. A two-legged, blood-sucking creature.
It definitely does put a new spin on the whole legend. I tell you that right now.
And they are so darn ugly, I'm glad that they primarily prey on goats and things like that. I wouldn't want to see one myself. Yeah,
they've been described as being red-eyed as well. And isn't that part of the vampire myth?
Part of, yeah, I know that that's a hard one to tell. That may be hybridization. I really haven't looked into, like, the eyes themselves. We are going to talk about a report here that's going to talk about physical characteristics of a vampire.
Oh, though. Good. Okay.
We're going to get on top of that, actually. Cool. That's probably the next thing we're going to talk about, actually, is physical characteristics. Okay. We're going to have to let you go, though, okay? We're going to move on here. But
it's okay.
It's always a pleasure having you.
Oh, one last bit. The chupacabras have been reported as flying, so there you have your vampire bat flying type.
Hey!
Maybe we will have to do a show on Chupacabra.
We may have to. This is getting very intense now.
That is. I love it.
We'll definitely talk to you soon, Phobos.
Thanks, Phobos.
Okay. I'll get a rest soon anyway.
See you later, Phobos.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
Now, that's an angle I hadn't thought of.
Very different angle. We're reaching past the cosmos now.
The thing is, we haven't talked about, like, we're trying to get so much in, you know, plus have fun. You know, we always have to have fun, otherwise... Mm-hmm. Why do the show?
Yeah.
But we're trying to get so much in that, you know, the theories of extraterrestrials, you know, complete other species. Because I was talking about how, you know, how the vampire legend started with the, you know, the visits and things like that, the vampire hunters. And then we get, you know, the novelization by Bram Stoker and of course, the modern one by One's Interview with a Vampire by Anne Rice. So you've got, like, all these... things, but, you know, other species.
Yeah.
Like, why are they necessarily human?
That could definitely come into play with something like that. Why don't we take a break here, okay?
I didn't get to talk enough about Constantine.
We can talk more about that if you want. No problem. Let's take a quick break here. And we'll be back in a second. What I do want to talk about, though, is the FBVA.
Oh, yeah. All right, after the break.
After the break, we're going to talk about that.
Too cool. Finally got it. I got one of them toll-free numbers for folks to call in with.
Oh, yeah? What's the number?
Well, it's 1-888-520-1969.
Tell me, write this down. It's 1-888-520-1969.
That's it.
Excellent. Good work, though.
We'll
talk to you later.
Cool. Catch up.
All right.
Bye.
feel like I should be on a horse right now.
I feel like I can talk really fast.
Wow. Check that out.
Great.
Just a side note. God, I love Slayer. The band makes me want to destroy, which I shouldn't. But it's fun.
Wait till you're out of the Haunted Basement studio.
Okay. I want to kill something right now!
You guys, we're always in the Zero Point Radio chat room. If you go to www.zeropoint.com, click on Interact and go down to chat. You just make up a screen name. Go in there. It's in the Pound Zero Point Radio chat room, which is automatically selected for you now. All kinds of cool people
for your convenience.
There. As a matter of fact, Phobos, our last caller, he's hanging in there. Rez of Resmerized is in there, of course. Bethany from
Soul Java.
Soul Java's in there. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of great, awesome people to talk to. So pop in.
Yeah.
Visit with everybody.
Now, you want to talk a little bit more about psychic vampires.
Yes, I did. Well, what happens is, part of, you know, as much as I rag on that book, okay, and I... Constantine,
I like it.
Constantinos did make a couple of interesting things. He says that, you know, there's... He classifies all the vampires and stuff like that, and then he prints those letters from modern vampires. But what he does also is he talks about psychic vampirism. And he says that perhaps it's not necessarily blood anymore that vampires need. It could be the energy, just the energy. I mean, because blood is, you know, obviously it carries, like, all kinds of very important things throughout your body, and you need it. But... Perhaps there's another class of vampires called a psychic vampire who, what they do is they feed off of your energy instead of your blood.
God, I know about 10 of those.
And, well, that's the thing. He did put a story in which I found phenomenal in that book. It, you know, as much as I did not, it took me a long time to read that book. The little bits and pieces of it that aren't telling you what you've already read or what you will be reading,
yeah.
The little bits and pieces that are not that are really good. And one of them is a story that he puts in of his own. He went to this party or something where this lady who was obviously ill came, and she was friends with everybody, or, well, at least with the hostess. But she, everybody, you know, shied away from her and stayed away from her. Constantinos was thinking that is, you know, it's because she basically latches on and feeds off of their energy, and then by the time they're done talking to her, they're exhausted, and so because it's on, she doesn't know it, you know, she doesn't know she's doing this, but she's ill,
yeah.
Her body's going to reach out and do whatever it has to do to survive, because it's a survival kind of thing, and part of it is to feed off the energy of others, and so there's unintentional psychic vampires, there's intentional psychic vampires, but, you know...
Yeah,
I'm
sure there's some of the intentional ones we know.
Yeah, some of them I know.
They literally, that's what they get their charge out of.
Yeah,
literally.
But they definitely, well, lately, here in Michigan, it's been like absolutely everybody gets a charge out of everything. I don't care, I walk two steps, touch something, and I get a zap. But, it's a different kind of energy, though, that's static electricity.
Uh-huh.
So, there are some good things about that book, and I think if you took out the two pages of that book that were really good and typed it up in an email,
yeah.
It would be awesome. It would have been an awesome book, but, you know, he unfortunately thought it best to tell you what you had read, what you will be reading, just absolutely, constantly, and that drove me up a wall.
Psychic vampires.
There was some good stuff in there, like the psychic vampire thing, although he did describe Old Hag, and he said Old Hag is a psychic vampire, and I'm like... Well, you know, gotta say no to that one, you know? There's some radio show hosts that might say, oh, you were visited. But I have a feeling that Old Hag is just it's a biological thing. It just happens to certain people because they become conscious before all of the, chemicals and stuff that are... coursing through your veins have weakened their effect, and therefore you get the Old Hag syndrome. But it's, I think it's a physical kind of thing, the
yeah.
Old Hag thing.
Yeah. Now, let's come back down to earth for a second.
Okay.
There is this agency.
Yeah.
Supposed agency. There's a lot of controversy about this right now, but we wanted to talk about this a little bit concerning vampires.
I can't believe we're promoting this agency. Although Will is a card-carrying member,
he's a card,
so we have to.
Actually, I'm like a ninja for those guys too. I took the test also, but I didn't apply for the card.
Yeah.
But I got like, you know, ultra stalker, major kill everything, dude, for like the FVZA, which is going to be the focus of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
The FVZA.
FVZA.
What's good? What's it stand for?
What's well, FVZA?
The federal. The federal vampire, the Federal Vampire and Zombie Agency. Now, there's a lot of controversy around this. The only reason we decided to talk about this is because there is a lot of controversy about this, first of all. If it was a complete hoax, we probably would have not even decided to talk about this. But we thought some of the points that were made here were very, very interesting, concerning the physical aspects of vampires,
okay,
the biology, the sociology.
Well, yeah, first of all, the FVZA, what's their website?
www.fvza.org.
Cool. And there is a lot of interesting info on that website.
Yeah.
Whether or not you think the FVZA is a real federal agency, which of course it is.
Who knows?
But no matter what you think of the thing, okay,
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the hook that they're doing in order to get you to their website,
uh-huh.
It is a way cool website because it does have a lot of cool information.
There's a lot of information.
So
there's a lot of controversy on the information.
And you can take that little test and become a ninja whatever.
Yeah, whatever ninja. The FVZA. like I said, there's a lot of controversy around all the information on this site. So anything we're about to let you hear right now, we don't believe either way. We're just putting it out there for people to check out. Okay?
It is out here now.
Now, let's talk about. Well, let's say, basically what they're saying is that this is a virus. Vampirism is a virus. They do also hunt zombies, too. That's a whole different side. Read that if you want. We'll talk about that on our show.
Yeah, that's a different show.
Yeah. The virus. Okay.
Oh, wait. Speaking of zombies real quick, I have to ask.
Yeah.
Did you hear the Resmerized where she did the whole thing about what you can do with your zombies? Oh, my
Probably
gosh. It was hilarious.
Really?
Resmerized. Resmiranda did a segment on what to do with zombies and how they're better than, I think better than vampires. I don't know. They're better than something anyway.
I didn't know there was a competition on who had the most notoriety.
Yeah, and evidently they're much more useful, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Household zombies.
I'll have to check that archive out.
Oh, man.
I can't stay up that late. I just can't do it anymore. I'm in bed.
I know.
It's so hard for me to stay up.
I know.
I'm trying, right?
Well,
I'm trying.
Your hours keep changing at work. How do you
it's
keep up?
Me.
Yeah.
Killing
all right, FVZA. I'm sorry. I just had
No, that's fine.
Because that was an awesome show. Well, all hers are awesome. Go ahead.
Okay. The virus. The HVV. HVV, first of all, what that stands for is human vampiric virus. This comes from, they say, an actual bat flea. A bat flea. The HVV carrier, obviously, is a vampire bat. The source of vampirism is the human vampiric virus. Like zombies, HVV belongs to the order You read.
My God! It's. Mononegaviralis. Yeah.
Thank you, Doug.
Dang.
Viruses with non-segmented, negative strained RNA genome. Okay. Viruses in this group have a distinct bullet shape. The virus's natural host is a flea commonly found on cave-dwelling bats, especially the vampire bat. In the most common scenario, a bat which has been bitten by the flea passes the virus onto livestock and humans through a bite. While in theory, HVV infection is possible through any exchange of bodily fluids, transmission occurs through the bite of an infected person in virtually every case. All right. So that's how it happens. Stages of the disease, because now we're talking about a disease. We're not talking about Bela Lugosi anymore.
Okay.
We're talking about a disease. God. Stage one, infection.
You get bit.
Yeah. Within hours of being bitten, the victim develops a headache, fever, chills, and other flu-like symptoms as the body tries to fight off the infection. The symptoms can be easily confused with more common viral infections, although the presence of bite marks on the body are usually enough to confirm the diagnosis. Well, apparently for the FVZA it is.
Yeah.
This stage generally lasts between 6 and 12 hours, during which the vaccine is 100% effective. They have a vaccine for this. Okay. And I lost to stage 2 because I'm a moron.
Do I have it? No, you gave me two.
Oh, I found it. Stage 2, vampiric coma. Within 24 hours of being bitten, the victim will slip into a vampiric coma. During this phase, the pulse slows, breathing is shallow, and the pupils are dilated. The large numbers of people mistakenly buried alive while in vampiric comas gave the rise to the myth that vampires sleep in coffins. While it is commonly thought that anyone infected with HBV turns into a vampire, in fact, only a small percentage of people survive vampiric comas. Generally, the young, the old, and the feeble never come out of their vampiric comas and eventually die. The vast majority of people who survive vampiric comas are males between the ages of 18 and 35. Well, you're almost out of the water.
Well, does that mean if I get bit, I will not survive?
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't like those odds.
Well, you want to be a vampire?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Vampiric comas last about a day. The victim usually comes out of the coma the night after its onset. The vaccine is 50% effective when administered during stage 2 of the infection. The longer the victim has been in a coma, the less effective the vaccine. During vampiric epidemics, many victims were buried while still in vampiric comas. Stage 3, transformation.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about much of that.
A bite victim who survives the coma will awaken fully transformed into a vampire. An acclimation period follows, characterized by confusion, despondency, and paranoia. Most vampires begin to hunt within 24 hours of transformation. The vaccine now is of no use at this point. So
that's when you take out the wooden stake.
So now this is what the FVZA tells us. How vampires come about. Okay. Now, what happens to the body when this happens? Biology. What's a vampire? Now, Phobos asked us about the red eyes.
Right.
And things like that. Well, we should be able to answer this question for
you. All right, let's find out.
Stages of the disease. The virus budding off an infection. Okay, all right. Stage 1. Wait a minute. What the heck am I doing here?
Wrong paper. Give me that.
What am I doing here?
Okay, go.
Wrong one. Okay. A person who comes out of a vampiric coma, fully transformed, have undergone a number of major physiological effects affecting the various systems of the body. The information included, this is basically what's going to tell us, okay? Vampires have much lower levels of neurotransmitters in their mind, in the brain, okay? In humans, low levels of serotonin trigger aggression and risky behavior.
Behavior. Yeah.
I think it's the cold air coming in here.
Oh, it's chilly. It's nice.
Okay, a study of murderers on death row revealed low levels of serotonin in their brains. So this can lead to serial killers, I guess. Low levels of serotonin in their brains.
I don't suppose he quotes the study or...
No, darn. Dopamine, another neurotransmitter. Dopamine induces feelings of well-being. In vampires, it is released during feeding and has a narcotic-like effect. Neural pathways activated in vampires during feeding are much like those found in addicts when using drugs. So we're talking about nothing more than a bunch of blood-sucking junkies, basically. Yeah, that's what it's coming down to. Sense organs. And this is the eyes, the teeth, all that good stuff. Powerful sense organs gave vampires an advantage both in hunting and eluding capture. Sneaking up on a vampire is virtually impossible. Is they are aware of your presence long before you are aware of theirs. Jeez, OP. In vampires, this is their sight now, okay? In vampires, the iris in each eye becomes hyper-dilated, giving them what appear to be black eyes. Not red eyes. That's what happens after you wake up from the bar. Black eyes. Okay? While this iris dilation gives vampires excellent night vision, it renders them effectively blind in the daylight. In addition, vampires suffer inflammation of the sclera, making the whites of their eyes appear red. Wait a minute, okay.
All right. Red eyes. Red and
okay.
black.
Red and black. All right, so, sorry. I'm running my mouth. Should have read this
Did
a little
Did you read ago. That? No.
I read this a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Smell and their hearing. Shut the window. if you're that cold, shut the window. Both senses are extremely acute as far as their smelling and hearing goes. As vampires have double the receptor cells in their noses and ears compared to humans. In fact, vampires usually smell or hear a person coming long before they see one. Their hair, skin, teeth, and fingernails. Part of the terror of encountering a vampire stems from dramatic changes to their outer appearance. Some of these changes are functional, while others remain a mystery. Teeth, more specifically. During vampiric coma, the upper and lower eye teeth experience growth. Additional enamel is deposited on the crown of the tooth. Vampires will file the teeth to make them sharper for easier feeding. Ugh. That hurt.
No, not filing your tooth.
That would hurt. Are you kidding me?
No, it's just that your tooth doesn't have a sense thing. Not the outside of it. Inside, you've got your, like, nerve or whatever.
I've been to the dentist. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Hard enough. Hair. Vampires lose all their bodily hair within 10 years of transformation, except for tiny hairs in their ears, known as cilia. Skin. A newly transformed vampire has a sickly pale yellow skin tone that turns to blue over the next few days. In time, the skin becomes more and more translucent, and a fine network of veins becomes visible under the skin.
Yuck.
Yuck. Fingernails, my favorite part. Vampire fingernails thicken and grow at a rapid rate. Vampires will file their nails to a point which helps them grabbing victims. Their circulatory system now. This is very interesting. The most profound differences between humans and vampires are found in the circulatory system. Typically, people say that vampires are dead. Okay? The differences enable vampires to survive massive trauma that would kill a human being. Unfortunately, they didn't go into too much detail on that.
From the circulatory system?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Blood.
Well, I think vampires are the undead, aren't they?
There's so much confusion now.
Oh, okay.
Blood. Vampire blood is called ichor. Actually, yep. They pronounce it ichor. Ichor.
Yeah.
Modifications to hemoglobin in the blood cells makes vampire blood appear black. Black blood. The heart. Vampire blood is pumped via the contraction of skeletal muscles rather than the heart. So we're talking about inside out, people. Basically, inside out. Your muscles, your legs, your arms, your gluteus.
That's
my
what...
favorite muscles. they pump the blood. The heart no longer functions in that manner.
Well, then how do they say you kill a vampire?
What's that?
How do they say you kill a vampire?
I'm working on that.
Oh. All
right. Yeah, like I said, though, the heart eventually atrophies from disuse, though. It's not even being used anymore. Maybe that's why, you know, vampires, they say they have no pulse. But they should have a pulse if their blood's pumping through their muscles, though.
I don't know. Good question.
Adrenaline.
You also can't see them in a mirror, but...
Yeah. The energy hormone, which normally kicks in during fight or flight situations, is found in consistently large amounts in vampire blood. The presence of adrenaline, along with changes in muscle, bone, and connective tissue, account for vampires' extraordinary strength, speed, and aggressiveness. So we're talking about, the thing I like about this is that they're talking about the hard facts here. Whether they're true or not, we don't know.
Well, it sounds like he took a Hollywood vampire and gave it just, like, you know, reasons why the Hollywood vampire could exist.
Yeah. Their muscles, more specifically, too, and a connective tissue for their bones and muscles. About 90% of vampire muscles are of fast twitch variety compared to 50% for the average human. Fast twitch muscles enable short bursts of maximal force, ideal when hunting prey. Also, vampire ligaments and tendons thicken in response to the workload imposed upon them by the muscles. Their skeletal system, vampire bones thicken in adaption to necessary support of their newly powerful muscles. So we're talking about a complete transformation here. Physically, I'm going to cite the guy's name, too. If I can find it again, did I give it to you?
No.
Dr. Hugo Pecos.
Yeah, you got it. Dr. Hugo Pecos. He's the guy who wrote all this stuff up. And like I said, the website, again, is www.fbza.org. This is some pretty interesting stuff. I spent a whole day at work reading this website. Just, you know, going...
Wow. Look at all this stuff.
This is, like, pretty in-depth here, man. How could... I mean, they're talking about... And then these people actually go out and hunt vampires. That's what their job was. They're trying to... This particular division, it says on the website, I think you got it right there, Doug, 18-something?
Oh, yeah, it does. 1868 to 1975.
So the year I was born, they stopped doing it. Because I am the light of the world. And I got rid of the vampires by my birth.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not the modern vampires, though. They're still out there.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're coming after you or me. I think they stick around among friends.
Yeah. Like I said, take it any way you want, people. This is just what we, you know, this is just something we thought would be kind of cool to talk about. Or just, you know, give to you guys on the air. But the thing about it, though, I mean... let's take the whole genre of vampires and compact it all into one thing such as this and say, look, it's from the actual tick itself that was on vampire bats or bats, cave-dwelling creatures such as bats. And it sets in this infection to your body and transforms you into this blood-sucking beast where your heart does not work anymore. I don't know if you want to believe it or not. It's pretty creepy. It's very creepy. But they say that these people would go out and literally kill vampires. They would literally kill vampires.
One would think that you would read more about that.
What's that?
I mean, if there were people out there killing creatures such as this with their ichor and stuff like that, they'd have samples and it would be in every lab. I don't know. I find it a bit of a stretch. But it would be interesting to... I know that I've been on that site. I took the little test. I thought it was so cute. But I didn't...
How'd you do?
I don't remember.
I know I got, like, ninja.
I probably got ninja.
I think we have a call coming in.
Cool. We got 5 more minutes before wrap up.
You're on Ghostly Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Lisa.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
Very good.
This is great to hear from you, because you're... Vampire attitude.
Yep.
Cool. And we're talking about vampires, you know.
Well, I know. I just called to tell you guys I love the topic tonight.
Even though I went on about Konstantinov?
Believe it or not, my youngest kid is named after Dracula.
Oh, really?
Yep. His middle name is Vladimir.
Oh, how cool.
Yep. Had to do it.
Oh, that's too cool.
Yep. It was interesting when people ask me why it was that, and I tell them, well, of course, it's after Dracula.
What did we forget?
Oh, actually, you guys hit everything pretty much on the spot.
Cool. Because there's more. I mean, there's a lot more, but we wanted to get as much of the background, as much of the different ideologies in. We could have gone into cultural differences, and we only touched on it, but I think that it was a pretty good, you know, overview.
Yeah. I mean, despite...
on the board tonight, what vampires are actually called around the world?
What are they called around the world? Oh, there's different names for them all over the place.
Oh, yeah, I posted it up on the boards tonight.
Oh, you put it on the MichiganGhostbusters.com board? How awesome!
Well, I know that as far as the whole topic of vampires goes, yeah, there's a lot of different viewpoints on the myth and the legend of the vampires. I don't know how Doug feels about it. I have no problem with voicing my opinion on the air. It's not a big deal. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. I really don't think there are vampires, honestly.
Well, I don't think there's Hollywood vampires.
No.
And I don't know if there's, you know, creatures of the night like one would think. I think it's more myth and legend, but
I like seeing hard evidence, like, well, whether it's true or not.
Like that, right?
But
up
this,
from
this
FVCA.
Yeah, I mean, this is
Lisa,
stuff.
Have you been to FVCA? Did you take their quiz? What were you?
Oh, yeah, I've been all over that board.
Yeah, and?
Oh, I love that board.
Yeah? Did you take that quiz? Did you get, like, a status or whatever?
No, I haven't taken the quizzes yet. I've just been kind of roaming around there.
Yeah?
All about and stuff right now.
It's a very, like I said, there's, I mean, they also talk about zombies, too, and that's a whole different thing, but they go into the same, it's the same setup with both sides.
The same medical
the
kind
same,
of.
Well, not, no, I'm just saying the same,
oh, okay.
The same, how would I say, synopsis of what's going on, why they came about, it's because of a disease, and there's nothing you can really do to turn it around, they have to be stopped. And really what the thing that I found interesting about the method of getting rid of vampires, according to the FVCA, it's just blow the hell out of them, basically.
Oh, really?
There's no sticking the
wooden stake through the heart.
Yeah, you know.
Because their heart doesn't work.
Yeah, their heart don't work.
So,
that's a whole different outlook. That's a whole different opinion on what.
Their heart doesn't work. Holy water doesn't work. None of that stuff works.
Huh.
So, yeah, we can't be using holy water anymore, unfortunately.
Decapitation works.
They talked about decapitation. They said, well, that goes for zombies and vampires, too. Just whack their head off and be done with it.
What do you think, Lisa?
Personally, my view is, I don't, yeah, even though my name is Vampire Attitude, I don't believe in them. I believe it is a disease. I believe a lot of times it's a psychological disease. People believe that they're supposed to drink blood and bite people's necks and live in coffins and live in the dark and stuff. That's psychological.
A lot of times that may be it nowadays, I think.
I think so, too.
That may be the issue. Of course, the story of vampire, the Hollywood stories of the vampires and Dracula, they're, of course, it's like, well, I live in a castle.
Well,
it's a very lavish lifestyle that a vampire leads. And I don't really understand, I don't really understand the whole, how would you say it? I mean, I really don't want to live in a coffin. I don't want to sleep in a coffin myself.
No.
I like my nice big soft bed.
I do, too.
I couldn't find that very attractive.
I have a really nice bed. Where it's, like, really thick. And
yeah.
That's why I'm always there. Dudes, we got to wrap up the show.
We got to wrap up the show. What time is it? Oh, it's 10 o'clock already?
Yeah.
Lisa, we got to let you go, okay?
Okay, you guys have a good one.
We'll
Thank
see you.
You
on the boards, Lisa.
All right, bye.
Bye. I just wanted to say.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening about vampires and stuff.
Yeah.
At least what
we could get about. We could get out tonight.
Also, stay tuned to Zero Point Radio because coming up in, 2 hours is a live Clyde Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
He does Ground Zero. Ground Zero. Or Zero Ground. Zero something.
Zero Ground.
Ground Zero.
Is it Ground Zero? You guys sure?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
On Zero Point Radio, Ground Zero, Clyde Lewis, I can't wait, because I think that's, like, totally awesome. That's in 2 hours at 11 p.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show. This was this is another one of those subjects that, like, it's way outside the spectrum of ghost hunting, but we really wanted to work it in. We've been getting a lot of requests for it, and we hope we came from a different angle as opposed to just talking about Dracula 2000 or whatever.
Well, I think I've probably disappointed a lot of people because of my viewpoint on that one book.
They'll get over it.
But there still is some good stuff in that book. So
yeah. So on that note, we are going to call it a week.
That's a good idea.
And start our week. Well, actually, start our week tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, back to work. I don't want to go. Let's just stay here.
No.
So watch out. Don't get bit. All right. Don't get your blood sucked out. We don't want that.
No.
He wants to keep coming back and listening to the show.
Sure.
So on that note, I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.